in verse 13. It said, I saw in the visions of my head while I was on the bed, and there was a watcher. Say it with me, a watcher. There's angels that are watching over you even in your dreams. Do you believe it? Do you understand that even in your dreams, when you don't have the capacity to even understand what is happening around you, the watcher is there for you. The angel of God is watching over you to bring to you revelation and wisdom of what God has sent to you. Now, who had this dream? Nebuchadnezzar, the king. Nebuchadnezzar was not a believer. Did not believe in God Jehovah. Did not believe in Yahweh. Did not believe, but had other gods. But the dream came to him. And the angel came to him in his dream, the watcher, to bring a word to him and understanding. Watch this. In the same sentence in verse 13, it says, and there was a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus. How many of you know that sometimes the angels are going to scream at you? Maybe you haven't had an angel scream at you. Maybe your angel is your wife or your husband. They have wisdom. Because they usually tell you something you don't want to hear at the moment they're telling you. Okay, maybe I'll just speak just to the men. Should I just speak to the married men? Because there's a lot of women in here. We outnumber. Josh, is there times when Colleen shouts at you some wisdom because you don't want to hear truth? Just play along. I know y'all got a great relationship. I know it. But isn't there time when you need to hear wisdom and it needs to be shouted to you? Because everything that's going around us has kept us so deaf to hear the wisdom that is coming from above. Oh, Lord. Maybe we have to go to sleep. Maybe the Lord wants to put you at rest for a minute so he can speak to you. Maybe he has to shout to you because you don't want to hear what he has to say. You know, most of our answers that we've asked God to answer us have been answered, but they don't come in the form that we want them to be. Lord, I'm tired. I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough, God. I need finances. Sell what you got. Oh, I bind that in the name of Jesus. Well, no, I can't sell all that stuff. It took me a long time to acquire it. Hello. Isn't there times when God will make you do something against what you think your will is? He makes you do some things that you don't really want to do. But he's shouting down to you what needs to be done. We don't even want to go into the prophetic word concerning this very timely message here in Daniel 4. How in this particular nation represents, well, where we're at. Let me just park here for a little bit. The United States of America has been in this position for quite some time. It's been very fruitful, has been the branches to many, that many have come to seek shelter under the very auspice of this great nation. But because of our haughtiness and pride and turning away from our God, there's some things that have been cut down. Mm-hmm. If we're not careful and if we're not praying and we're so caught up with who is in and who should have been in, you're going to miss out on who's still in charge. We need to turn back to God. And that means the God that speaks to you even in your dreams against what you think. See, we make decisions based on our heart, our flesh. And then we coin it with the Lord said. Lord, it's getting quiet up in here. How many times have you said the Lord said and it wasn't the Lord, it was you? Yeah, we do that. The Lord says, you're going to be my husband. No, I'm married. But there's going to be some trouble in your marriage. No, there ain't. You know how many times I've heard people say that the Lord said, that's my spouse. That's my job. That's my house. How many times we claim for houses, babe? We used to sit in the houses. You know, when they would have the open house, we'd sit there. I'd claim all the furniture and everything in it. And it would get sold. Furniture and all. The Lord didn't say. We said. There's some times I went and claimed some businesses. Went to go claim a restaurant one time. Lord said, you're going to have a restaurant. I said, amen. Let's go claim. And doors were wide open. Went in. Oh, the Lord is saying this is it. The Lord didn't say nothing. That's your desire. That's your hope. So then through your times that you're walking with God, when something like a door opens and you think, oh, that's God. Let's make sure it's really God. Let's make sure it's really God. How do you know it's really God when a door opens for you? Tell him to shut it. Release your will. And let God reveal the true door. Because if it's truly God, nobody can shut it, not even you. We can mess it up. We can make it dirty. We can really mess it up. But it can't be shut. Here's the thing I want to tell you is that God is speaking in this very hour to this nation. And he's speaking to the body of Christ. We need to be prayed up, fasting, and in our word for what God wants to do in this nation. So that when he begins to do it, that the church is not going against what God is doing. Amen? Okay, now I'm going to go ahead and put this in drive. Now we're going to get back to the regular message. Thank you for those. Just a short break. I should have had that do-do-do-do-do. Emergency broadcast system. This is the test. There is a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven. And he's coming because the ministering spirits of God come because they're watching over you. They're watching over your circumstance. They're watching over the interest of God's beloved, you. If the Bible says that he watches his word so that it'll be performed, that not one word out of his mouth shall fall to the ground, but it shall produce what it was sent out to do and not return void unto him. He has angels watching over the words. How many of you believe that God is watching over your word? He's watching over you. Maybe it hasn't come to pass, or maybe you're unsure of the word. Ask for revelation, illumination, and he'll send the watcher to come and bring to you revelation. Amen. Now watch this. In verse 17, it says this. This decision is by the decree of the watchers. Who decreed it? The watchers. Who are the watchers? The angels. Who decreed it? The watchers. There are times that the angels of God, the ministering spirits of God, will come into a service, into your house, into your job, and begin to decree a thing in the atmosphere, and your job is to just receive, hello, receive what is being sent. But if our discernment is not keen to what God is doing, instead of you always wanting to hear, maybe you need to discern what is coming in the atmosphere, because a decree is being sent. Now the watchers decreed it, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones. Now, these angels are coming to bring to you answers, wisdom, strength, and they're there to assist you in your very purpose for God. You have that understanding? Now, many times, and I've heard this many times from different people, that do deliverance, they command the angels to go and hold down certain individuals. I mean, literally hold them down from harming themselves or harming others. I don't know if you've been in a deliverance like that where you've seen that kind of manifestation. I have, and I've always seen God go and minister directly to the individual and bring healing and bring restoration and bring deliverance. I have never seen, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but I've never seen someone command an angel to hold someone down and then go forth and do deliverance. Angels do deliverance. You know this. Some of you are like, no. So let's get to the scriptures here. I want you to understand that there's seven things that the angels will do. There's many, many, many more, but I'm going to go through seven of them. Over 370 times in the Bible, angels and heavenly creatures are mentioned. They appear as men. They appear in dreams. They appear in brilliance, visions, trances. And they walk and talk with men on earth. They move like the wind, the speed of light. Now, how many of you have seen something in the corner of your eye and you turn and look and it's not there? But you saw something. You turn to, oh, what was there? What was there? It moved so fast. There's times that you will see a ministering spirit of God, an angel of God, and you will get it at your peripheral, and then when you turn, they're gone. I gave the story one time when we were traveling to California and we had a blowout in our van. And we should have flipped over because it was the front driver's side. And we were going about 75 on the highway. We should have flipped over. And it was all of us, all of our kids. They were in the van. And anyhow, long and short, we got towed to a tire place. The tire place changed it. There in that tire place, there was a man that was asking for money, for food to eat. And the tire shop owner moved him away. Said, no, get out of here, get out, because they were busy. So I wanted to go and help the man give him some money, but he was already gone. So after they fix our tire, we leave to go get gas and go get to the some snacks at a rest stop area. And when we get there, I'm putting gas in, and I see the same man that was quite a distance away asking for money. I said, okay, Lord, this is you. You make a way. Because you know how we do. Lord, if this is you, make him have a purple hat on with a pink feather sticking out, and then I'll minister. Because, you know, we ask God to give you some crazy things, right? Okay, just me. Okay, Lord, if it's him, just make sure that the purple cow runs across the street there, and then I will know it's you. So I'm pumping gas, and I see the man I tie, and he's, look, there's that guy. There's a guy. So I go up to him. And I asked him, sir, is there anything I could get you to eat? Are you hungry? He says, yes, I'm really hungry. I said, well, let me pray for you. And so I prayed for him, gave him some money. I turned around to go to Inez, let's go get him something. And he was already gone. Gone. Just gone. Now, when that happened, I knew at that moment, not prior, I didn't discern then, but at that moment, after he was gone in an instant, I knew that was an angel. But I couldn't discern that it was an angel at first. Do you understand? In Scripture, it talks about when Sarah and Abraham and the two angels come, and Abraham sees the two angels, and he goes and makes them a meal. He tells Sarah, make them a meal. And they ate. Do angels eat? They do eat. It's all in Scripture. They eat. And then I wonder, what is an angel going to eat the food from here for? They don't need no nourishment in their body. In the Bible, it specifically says that Abraham gave them meat and gave them bread, and they ate right in front of them. Is it a test? If the food is gone, they ate. Put enchiladas in front of an angel. I bet you the enchiladas will be gone. Ain't no test whether or not you're going to make enchiladas. It's going to be gone. But if they ate it, would you know it was an angel? Because this is what I'm getting at. Because we start putting our minds of, well, that couldn't have been an angel because they ate food. And they're just sitting there, just like me and you, we're just talking, looking at one another. There couldn't have been an angel. Guess what happens when an angel comes in your presence in bodily form? Your eyes take over your discernment. Okay, don't miss this. What you see makes your spirit shut down. Because if you don't have to discern, but you can see, then you're letting your natural eyes take over what your spirit should already see. You think I'm stopping with the angels? There's times when God has given you an answer to what you're dealing with, but because you see something the way you want to see it, you put your discernment and you put it in the closet and you start trusting what you see. Oh, I'm preaching good. I know I am, Pastor. I'm going to keep on. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. Because they're sleepy up in here, but it's all right. There are some times that things are happening in your life, but because you can see it with your natural eyes, your spiritual eyes go to rest. Because you don't want to see it. Because it looks so real. I couldn't discern that it was an angel then. That wasn't the only time. There was another time. Then an angel showed up when I was working. I didn't know it was an angel then. Because back then, I didn't believe that angels would show up in a trailer as I'm refurbishing a trailer full of all this junk everywhere. And an angel shows up and tells me what I'm about to be doing. So you're not supposed to be in here. This is closed off. These are not for sale. You need to go to the other side of the lot where they actually have those. We're getting these ready. I wish Popo was here because he would tell you that he saw the same man. Because we used to do refurbishing of mobile homes that had been, yes, that's the word, repo. And he walked in. Now, this is, mind you, this is in Buda, Texas. It was a Palm Harbor place. This is where the Home Depot is now. Okay, back then it was a Palm Harbor. We were in the very back area. So when he came in, I said, Pope, would you see that man that came in? He goes, yeah, I saw him. I told him the same thing. He needs to go to the front. Well, let's make sure that he knows where to go. We both walk outside. We go down the little steps, and we look, and he is gone. Now, the trailer we were working in, it wasn't like we were side by side, all these other ones. We were off to the side. There's no way he could get from the front door out in the field someplace else. He was gone, but we didn't discern it. We didn't understand it. But this is what he told us. Told me, because Popo was near the room. And he told me, he says, you are going to finish these, and it's going to be over. Soon after that, those contracts that we were doing with all of those Palm Harbors, they dried up. Remember when it ended, Mom? Remember when it ended? We were making good money then. We still had the restaurant. We still owned the restaurant. We were still working, but we were doing all these refurbishings because we were just tired of sitting and watching tacos go out the window. Oh, y'all can do this. Let's go make some money because we need to make some more money because the Lord is saying to go and do. He says, what you're doing is coming to an end. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll be finished here in a little bit. Sir, but these aren't ready. You need to go around to the other side. Was coming down the hall. He sees them too. He goes, yeah, they're around the, you know, Pope will give detailed information. I'm like, they're over there. He's like, go down the road a little bit, and then you'll see the office to your right. And when you go in there, just ask for so-and-so. If you ever had interactions with my dad, Popo, he's detailed. I'm very general. It's over there. If you can't see the big building, well, I can't help you. He'll give you details. And we both saw him, and he was gone. Soon after that, those contracts were over. We're back at the restaurant looking at each other. What are we going to do now? We just don't discern all the time that an angel is present. We have to have our discernment keen to what God wants. Be looking anxiously with anticipation that God wants to answer you concerning your circumstance. Do you believe he wants to answer you? Do you believe if you ask, he will send you the answer? Do you believe if you ask in the name of Jesus that you will ask and receive? That's what the Bible says. Do you believe that when you knock, the door shall be open? Yes. And don't give me this whole Christianity. So, oh, unless it be the Lord's will. It has to be the Lord's will. He says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be open. The problem is we knock and move on. How many times have you been before the presence of God, asking, petitioning, praying, interceding, and then you get up and leave? You're not even waiting for the answers. Yeah. Many of us do that because we're on a time limit. What if we were to stand up here and wait on the Holy Ghost to show up before we start ministering? We might lose a lot of people in church because they're not used to it. You mean you're going to worship for 2 hours? Oh, the Lord can just move real quick. The Lord can, but he wants you to bring him in first, make him first. Once you start making him first, you start conditioning that the service is about him and not about you and not your timing. Lord, we will see signs, wonders, and miracles once again. We will. But the more that we lose our discernment to what God wants to do, and we start putting our eyes to focus on what we want to see, your mind starts playing tricks. Well, we've got to be careful with that. Angels obey the Lord's command. In Psalms 91, verse 1, it says this. Psalms 91, 1. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, for he will command his angels in regard to you to protect and defend and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. And bless the Lord, you his angels, who are mighty and do his commands and obey the voice of his word. Isn't that beautiful? Psalms 91 is something that I believe that we need to have a better understanding of, is that he is here to send the angels in regard to protect you and defend you in all your ways of obedience and service. Out of the Amplified. Because I'm his son, because you are his son and daughter to the king, he watches over you, he protects you, and he sends angels, ministering spirits to watch over you. Amen? The angels obey the Lord's commands. Number two, angels have free will. Do you know that that's true? Angels have free will. In Jude chapter 6, it says, likewise, the angels who did not keep their first domain, but forsook their own dwelling, he has kept in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. When Lucifer, Satan himself, chose to take the angels with them, the angels made a choice. They made a choice to follow. So angels have free will. Just like you have free will. Choose you here this day in whom you will serve. Who will you serve? Christ Almighty or your own agendas? Your own agendas, the way you want them to be done or the way you want it to see it accomplished or how it's supposed to feel when you're doing it. If it don't feel good, can't be God. If it's not fun, can't be God. If it's not loud and fast, can't be God. If it's not slow and low, can't be God. If you ain't crying, it's not the Holy Ghost. I have seen some people get so caught up in those things that man has put on them through a church organization, telling them that this is how the Holy Ghost moves. And if it does not happen this way, it's not the Holy Ghost. You were just put in bondage. Because you trusted authority speaking that and you begin to follow after that and you get put in those chains. Reality is the Holy Ghost can move any way he wants to. And if we think he has to do it a certain way, then what we're going to do is we're going to miss out on what he wants to do on your behalf. How many times have you asked for God to change a loved one in your life? Not my wife, because she's perfect. I'll pray that one.
That's good. See that one? Then I caught myself that one. It was good, right?
But the reality is we ask God to change an individual. God knows the heart. He knows what you're asking for. So instead of him changing that individual, he starts changing who? You. What does he start showing you? He starts showing you, you. Lord, change Mr. Wright. He's not Mr. Wright today. Change him. He made me angry. He didn't do the dishes. Change him to help me. Y'all don't pray that way? Don't be lying. See, there's times that we make some prayers that we're praying amiss, and God says, oh, you want somebody else to change? Let me show you, you. And all of a sudden, a big old mirror just pops up right in front of you. And then the angels begin to show you some things as well. A revelation of who you are and what is stopping you from getting there. I used to pray, from time to time I still do, God, reveal to me, O Lord, what is inside of me that is unpleasing unto you? It's like the Lord says, you got a pen and paper? Let me list these things, sir. And which one you going to deal with first? The one that I put at the top of the list or the one that I put at the bottom? And what do we do? It can't be that one. That's not me. I've dealt with that one, Lord. Like God made a mistake. Let's check that one. I already dealt with that one. Let's go to this one over here. Don't eat the grapes in HEB without paying. Okay, I can do that one. Am I the only one that eats the grapes or the donuts? Y'all go through there and go get those donuts or go and get those muffins that are out there just sitting out there calling your name. Come to me. And then you don't pay for it on the way out? Sure you do. Okay, just give an example. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is going to minister to you the things that need to be changed within yourself, right? And what we can't do is be praying, Lord, change this individual. You got to change Annette, because Annette comes in and she looks at me and she always just stares at me like this. And I know she don't like me. She don't love me. And she doesn't really even really care about how I minister. Change her, Lord. And I'm role playing, guys. Calm down. And so what the Lord is going to do is he's going to minister to me and say, why are you so worried about what people think about you? You have an issue concerning rejection. You need to learn to deal with it. No. Deal with the net, not me. Deal with the net over there. Angels of the Most High God, deal with the net. And God said, no, I'm dealing with you. Your rejection, the issues that you keep carrying with you, let me work on you. And guess how he does it? The spirits of the living God come forth and begin to bring conviction in the areas that you begin to do. He begins to show you. But if we don't have our discernment to know that they're there to help us, we're going to stay like that because we have our own will. You don't want that. In Matthew 18:10, this is number three. You have angels that work for you. You have angels. It says, Matthew 18:10 says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. There's more angelic activity in the New Testament than what is that we can actually see. We read it, and you can see there's a lot of angelic activity in the New Testament. And one of them is, remember when Peter was in chains and he was in the prison, and the angels came at night? And when the angels came at night, it loosed them, got them out secretly out. that when they came to the people that were praying for Peter to be loosed, they said, that's angels, Peter. That's his angel. That's the angel of Peter. That's who's there. It's not Peter. It's his angel. That's in Acts 12:15. You have an angel. And maybe your angel looks just like you. Well, Sylvie, they said that when they went to the door and she looked and they said, it's not Peter, it's his angel. His angel. It's Peter's angel. Because Peter was locked up, it's his angel. So they knew it to be that there's times where the angel will look just like you. Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear this. There are times when the angel of Almighty God takes on your form, especially if you're doing the very will of God, asking to be used of God and submitting your will to him, that he will bring your angel before others and minister to them. And they say, I've seen you before. No, y'all still don't get this. Woo! When I was in Africa, going to Africa the very first time, the gentleman that was assigned to pray for me to get there, Pastor David, he said he prayed for me because there was a lot of demonic activity around there knowing that I was coming. And here I am thinking, to be very honest with you, I'm just a dude just trying to find out what's going on in Africa for the first time. And I told him, I said, I ain't nobody special. He says, no, your face has popped up and I've never seen you before. But the person that I saw in my prayer was you. And I had never seen you before. So when you came off the plane, I said, there he is. And he looked over to Papa Lou. He goes, that's Pastor Marty. I said, yes, how'd you know? He goes, I saw him in a dream. That's him. Y'all don't believe me. I know you don't. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. I'm not looking for anybody to say, oh, Pastor, really? What? I know what's been told to me, and I know what he said. And Papa Louie looked over me and goes, do you know who David is? I said, I've never been here. This is Africa. This is my first time here. Now, if some of y'all were with me the very first time I started taking donations to go, and I had to put off the trip for the following year, that's when he saw me. That's when he saw me. So the next year I decided to come when things are made open for me. Because that's him. Papa Louis says, how'd you know? I saw him in a dream. And he told me afterwards, I saw you literally in my dream. And when you came, I knew exactly who you were. Because we've been praying for you. And you came to me in a dream. And you said you were coming. I never talked to you before in my life. Because no, it was in the dream. So quickly I said, no, that can't be scripture. Let me look that up. There's times when the enemy will keep you from seeing your angels. And they're sent to work on your behalf, to be as messengers for you, to bring you peace and comfort. And to speak when you need to hear from God. Amen. So in Acts 12:15, that's when the actual reference is when Peter comes to the door. And they were so used to seeing angelic activity that they said, no, it's not Peter, it's his angel. But the reality, it was actually Peter. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews 1:14. When you're there and you have it, say hallelujah. Colleen, do you have Hebrews 1:14? Read it, please.
Are not all the angels ministering spirits sent out by God to serve, accompany, protect those who will inherit salvation?
Say, read again.
Are not all the angels ministering spirits sent out by God to serve, accompany, protect those who will inherit salvation? Of course they are.
Amen. Did you receive salvation through Christ Jesus? Each and every one of you in here. If you haven't, we can do the prayer of salvation, get you to know Jesus real quick, get you baptized, speaking in tongues. I'll get some water somewhere around here and baptize you in water. I'm here to tell you right now, because you've inherited salvation and you receive salvation, the ministering spirits of God are working on your behalf. To do what? Read it again. To do what?
To serve, accompany, protect.
To serve. They're here to serve you. Yes? Mm-hmm. Turn me down on this. They're here to serve you. How are they going to serve you? Well, I've been reading a book and studying some of the angel activity, and there was a young man, well, I won't say young man, but there was a man that was ministering in Australia, and he'd been doing revivals in Australia. When he came back from Australia, after doing a long time spent ministering and doing signs and wonders, he got home into his place, and he got on his bed, and he says, Lord, I could really use a massage right now. I am so tired. So he fell asleep. In the middle of the night, he felt the covers be pulled back off of his feet, and something began to touch his feet, that it shook him, and he sat up in his bed. He says, what is this? And he saw the angel, and he got frightened. The angel said, you ask for a massage, and I'm here to give you a massage. Because he was afraid, he left. And he says it went up like the sparkles right before his eyes. Okay, y'all think I'm just playing with y'all. The same man that was ministering in Australia was ministering in India, and he began to ask God, because he already had this encounter with the angel, the massage in his feet, that he, when he got to this particular hotel, it was very frightening in this place where he was at, he says, that when he entered into the hotel, the lights were not working. It was very dark, and he asked the Lord to reveal with his presence, his light, so that he could see where he was going so he wouldn't harm himself. He said in that moment, there was a light that came in like lightning, but it did not disappear. It came in and it stayed so that he could find the lamp on the other side of the room that he could turn on. Now, y'all know your pastor. I'm a spooky pastor. Since I close this up on Thursday nights, and sometimes it's real dark upstairs and in these hallways and these crevices around here, I ask the same question. Lord, send me some light so I can see and I don't hurt myself. Y'all are waiting. Did the lightning come? No, I had to feel around for the light switch, but I'm going to keep on asking. Because if you come down these stairways back here that come from the second floor down, it's dark. And there's a landing that you have to feel out so that you don't fall down. So I'm still asking. What is done for others, I'm asking God to do for me. Don't make this be about the spiritual ones out there doing revivals. You have that very right. Because he says those that inherit what? Salvation. Also have ministering spirits to do what? To serve. The angels come in to do the work for you. To help you. Now, they ain't going to clean your house. That's your domain. But they will minister to you. When Jesus being tempted of the enemy, and he's been there for 40 days and 40 nights, he gets to the point where he's weak. Who comes to minister to him? The angels. Don't get this wrong. He allows himself, who is higher than the angels, to be ministered to by them. What about you? But in my weakest hours, I can cry out to Jesus. And if he sends me an angel, it's still sent from Jesus. If it's sent from God, it's still good for you. When your religious mind says, oh, I don't worship you, I only worship Jesus. Don't miss out on the blessing that God has sent your way. God knows your heart. All through scriptures, do not bow, do not bow. Do not fear, do not fear. When the angel is present, fear will enter in. A false sense of worship unto that being has a tendency to happen. But the reality is God knows your heart. And he wants to allow the ministering spirits to come to you to help you. I want those ministering spirits working on my behalf. So I ask God, don't let me miss it. Let me see it. Let me touch it. Let me move about in this realm of your spirit that you have for me. I don't want to miss my blessing. And I'm not talking about the blessing with money and cars. And that's all great, fine and dandy. But there's more in this heavenly realm that I want to experience. Amen? Don't get it twisted. I'll take me a nice vehicle and I'll take me a nice house. Don't get me wrong. But what is up here in this heavenly realm, there's more that I want to tap into. Do you want to tap into it? It is there for us. Now we know that angels never die. You know that? They don't die. They don't have that flesh. They may put on flesh, but their spirit. Luke 20:36, angels never die. For they cannot die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are the sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Angels never die. The reason why I put that in there is because there are angels that assisted many prophets of old that are still in position today. Just because the prophet has died and moved on does not mean the angel is gone either. Prophet Bob Jones had his Emma. He named this angel. Can't find it in scripture other than the angels were already named, but he named Emma, and Emma was an angel that would release supernatural breakthrough with finances in an area, in a territory. She was an angel. Well, I want to say she. I want to say that the angel Emma that he gave this name to had the authority to release prosperity over a region and a territory for churches. And everywhere that he would go and that angel would enter, he would say, there is Emma. Emma's come to release finances. And every place that he would minister and that angel would show up, that church and churches connected to the church would see an increase in finances, not just in the church, but in businesses and people that said that this is for the Lord. Are you hearing what I just said? If God has given you something, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. If God has given you a business for you to say that this is God, and you have made a declaration that said, God, if you do this, this is yours. If you do this, this is yours. Then he's going to honor that covenant that you made with your mouth, and he will bring to you even the test to see whether you'll do it. Let the first increase come into your life and watch and see what God's going to ask you to do. If you want to sow millions, get used to sowing thousands. I want to be a millionaire. I can't even get you to get off that 10% off of that thousand you just made. You want to be a millionaire? No, you're going to keep it. You're going to hoard it. You're going to be the one that's going to be stingy with it. He goes, I need someone that knows that that money that I'm giving them is not even theirs, it's mine. I'm just using it, sending it out. And when I send it out, if they can give beyond their means and be able to give, when I say give it all, they'll give it all because they know it's not them. And you can't outgive God. Oh, Lord. If you'll believe in God for a supernatural increase, he's going to ask for seed to be given. And if you want to see an increase in your business, he's going to ask not only for the first fruits, he's going to ask for a supernatural seed to be sown in. And it's usually the amount that you need for your breakthrough. You need a breakthrough? Then what you have in your account is not a breakthrough. Because it's a one-time bill that can be paid and it's going to come back again. A breakthrough is that what he gives you eliminates it from coming back again. I don't know about you, but if I have something in my bank account and he says, give it, it's yours. Let me get the checkbook, write it out. How much? All of it. Okay. But there's no buts about it. I ain't canceling what God is telling me to do. How many of you believe in God for something like that? Some of you are like, oh, I like my lights. I got to have my cell phone though, Pastor. I got to have my internet, Pastor. Because if I don't have my internet, if I have my cell phone, then But what if he asked for you? I'm not telling you, so quit it. What if he asked you for something like that? Will you be obedient? Will you be obedient? Sow your car. I ain't got one. The one you have, sow it. No, but that means I won't have to sow it. That, okay. Here you go. How many of you sown, Mom? Mm-hmm. And God has come through every time. I haven't been able to do that. I told God I would, though. If Mama do it, I'm going to do it, too. If she's sowing a Cadillac, I'm sowing it. I'm sowing something. I ain't got a Cadillac. I'm sowing something. Oh. I'm talking about generational blessings here. Where God begins to speak something to you on your behalf, and then if you just obey and do it, watch what he'll do for you, and not just for you, but also the generations to follow. Oh, yeah. Well, there's a generational blessing that wants to be released for you, but it's going to require action in your faith. If you just do it, watch what he'll do. And don't get all crazy and say, I'm going to go sell my car now. Don't do that. I would fleece God a few times. I ain't lying. I'd do the same thing. Lord, if it's you, I want to do it. But if it's you, this is something that's very serious. I want to make sure it's you. Show me. And if he does it, if he did it for Gideon, he's going to do it for you. But at some point in your life, he's going to say, how many times do I have to fleece things for you? Or are you just going to trust me at my command? Are you going to know my voice? You're going to trust me. And that's where I want to be. I'm not there yet. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not there yet. Because I'll look at my needs. I don't know about that, God. I've got children. I've got a wife. I have responsibilities. Like he doesn't know. Yeah, we go through that checklist. But I want to get there. I want to get to that point where God, whatever comes in, we'll give it. Whatever comes in, we'll give it. The good thing that I know about this, sharing with you something about your pastors, we discuss every seed that goes out. Every seed, so that we're in agreement with every seed. She knows that whatever comes into her mind to give, I'm good with it. Even if she says, we've given it all. Amen. That's it. Was it like that before? Oh, no. You're going to do what? To who? Oh, we need to pray and fast. She goes, you're going to fast? No, you're going to fast. I'm going to pray. You know how we twist things. But it got to the point now that every time that she would do it and we'd come in agreement, we would see the blessing in return. Not necessarily financial, but other areas that we need to get a breakthrough in. So it got to the point, well, this is what I did. Amen. I bless it. Amen. Well, I'm going to sow here. Sow it. Amen. Let it go. And she'll get to the point, well, that money is right here. Well, you know what? We're going to send it here. We're going to send it here. And we're going to send it there. Bye. Bye, seed. Go do your harvest now. Produce. Because it's yours to begin with. When we can work in tandem like that, when you can work in tandem like that with the Holy Spirit, watch what comes your way. Amen. Number five, angels serve as deliverers. Psalms 34:7. Psalms 34:7. Ooh, when you have it, Colleen, will you read it, please? Psalms 34:7.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him with awe-inspired reverence and worship him with obedience, and he rescues each of them.
What? Say it again.
He rescues each of them.
Who does?
He does.
The angel of the Lord rescues them. He encamps around those who fear him. I know some of you scholars in here are saying the angel of the Lord is Jesus. No, he's specifically saying this is the angel of the Lord. This angel is sent to encamp around you to protect you and keep you and will rescue you in the times of trouble. If you're going through some troublesome times right now, something's coming against you, coming against your finances, coming against your marriage, you need to start praying that the angel begins to work on the word that God has already spoken to you. If he's spoken to you about restoration, he's spoken to you about marriages being restored, then you got to let that angel know that you trust in that word. Now go forth and be who he said. Amen. If he's coming to attack your children, then you got to call that angel into being. Say, Lord, I thank you for sending your ministering spirits to guard and protect. But I thank you, God, that you are the deliverer that has sent the deliverers to work on your behalf. Whew. Well, go and work on your children. When your children get a little sideways and they want to listen to you, well, work on them. Whew. When the prophet Elisha was there with Gehazi, and Gehazi saw all those chariots and horsemen that were coming throughout the night that encircled them and camped around them to come and kill them. It was just two of them. And the whole army came out after them at night. Watch this. Don't miss this. This is what the prophet said to him. Fear not. Fear not. Those that are with us are greater than those that are against us. Then he says, open his eyes. Let him see. How many of you want to see? Yeah. Your desire is to see. If your desire isn't to see, then you won't see. Let him show you that he has angels encamped around you right now, working on your behalf. He's working on your children. He's working on your spouse. He is working on your very promise. He's encamped around them. And the same one that is encamped around them is the one that's going to deliver you. Number six, angels can speak with a loud voice. Turn to Revelation 7:2. Revelation 7:2. And when you have it, read it, Colin, please.
Then I saw another angel coming up from the rising of the sun, holding the seal of the living God, and with a loud voice he called out to the four angels to whom it was granted to have authority and power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we seal the bondservants of our God on their foreheads.
Amen. They can speak loudly. They can cry out. Why would they have to cry out? Why would they have to shout if they're angels in the spiritual realm? Don't have an answer? What do you think? Yeah, I don't want to answer. If God himself spoke this world into existence, the Creator spoke and sound waves went through the atmosphere, went through the spiritual realm, and it began to create. When the angel begins to shout, it begins to shout through the airwaves, begins to break the demonic entities in that atmosphere, to sever the cords that are over the region and territory, because the shout that comes from the angel begins to create on your behalf. There's some shouting going on. Maybe not in here, but there's some shouting going on. I know that the angels are working on our behalf. I know the angels are working for you. Because the pure fact that you're saved, they work for you. They're shouting. Angels have strong discernment. 2 Samuel 14, verse 17. When you have it, read. 2 Samuel 14, verse 17.
Then your maidservant said, please let the word of my lord the king be comforting, for my lord the king is as the angel of God to discern good and evil. May the Lord your God be with you.
Amen. Is like the angel of God that can the king discern good from evil. Discern good from evil. Your angels will come in and not only discern the atmosphere, but begin to transform the atmosphere around you by way of what the word of the Lord is in your life. If God has spoken something into your life concerning destiny and promise, the angel of the Lord that is working as ministering spirits unto you can come into your circumstance, into your life, and begin to shift the atmosphere so that what was once off course can be put back on course. Isn't that beautiful? That means sometimes when your mind gets a little sideways and you don't want to do it, when your will gets in the way sometimes and you feel like you can do it your way, the angel begins to shift the atmosphere. That's why the ministering spirit can come in and begin to minister to you, and faith can be reinstilled, and your faith can begin to move things that were in your mind to begin to do the things that was in the mind of Christ. The angels work on your behalf. Next week, I'll go over their names and go over specific duties of them that work on your behalf and how they work. Are you ready to receive what the Lord is doing on your behalf? Are you ready to see, discern, and allow God's ministering angels to work for you and through you? Yes? Stand to your feet if you would.